Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I am your host, Martha Reddick. And this week is a very special, fun week because we are going to be doing wine pairings with stories of nanny days that made us want to pour ourselves a big glass of wine or beer or alcohol in general when we got home. And to do that, I have invited my friend, Dan Cruz. Hello, Dan.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going so well. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
And Dan brought some champagne for us to share as we do this tonight. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So as if you are listening at home and are able, you're at a point in your day where you can have a glass of wine, pour yourself one.
Or even not, just sneak it.
No, don't do that.
No.
Not if you're taking care of children unless you have permission from the parents.
Yeah,
which that's a very tricky territory that I've been in before, where parents have gone out for like a date night and they're like, once the kids are in bed, drink. And I'm like, no, I'm legally responsible for your children.
Really? Do parents like ask you to do drink a lot on the clock?
Not very often, but sure. It has happened. And I think they're trying to be kind, but I'm like, no.
Or tricky. Do you think they're trying to trick you?
I don't.
Okay.
Just because I know the family that did it and it came from a place of kindness, but I could see a family trying to trick you.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not this family. They're super kind and they listen to this podcast. So hello, guys. You know who you are. So Dan, before we get started with these fun stories, mm-hmm. pairing them with drinks, let's hear a little bit about your background.
Sure. So, I am a certified sommelier here in Chicago. Basically what that means is that I am, in the Court of Master Sommeliers. I am on my second level.
Okay, wait. Go back to the word court.
I know. So it sounds very mystical. It sounds like there's guys in robes and there's like...
Are there?
There's probably a guy with a robe somewhere.
Okay.
Probably in the ethos of the court. But basically what you're trying to get to is to become a master sommelier. If you've ever seen the documentary on Netflix, Somm.
I haven't yet, but I will go. I'll watch it.
Yeah, you should. It's fun. And you should if you can drink, and watch it. It's about four guys trying to get their MS, their Master Sommeliers, and just all the challenges that they go through.
Okay.
So in order to be a sommelier, you do have to know a lot about wine, but mm-hmm. also it spans all of alcohol. So I get tested on. Yeah. Not only wine, I mean, that is the predominant part of the test, but also there are questions as far as cocktails, alcohol, sake, beer, anything that, will get you drunk.
Or could be paired with food.
Or it could be paired with food, yeah. And so I currently am working in a 2-Michelin-star restaurant here in the city. I am the floor sommelier, so what that means is that I am... basically in charge of selling wine on the floor.
Okay.
And also helping the chef when he rolls out a new menu or puts a new dish on the menu. pairing wine with that food.
Okay.
And so this is kind of like a perfect fit for the two of us.
Yeah, it really is. Because as I have started this podcast and I've been hanging out in the digital realm on the nanny groups, mm-hmm. I see so many nannies that are like, oh my gosh, guys, listen to my day. Like this happened today. I'm going to have so much wine when I get home. Or that families will offer nannies wine. They will be like, here, take this bottle. We're sorry our children put you through that today. Or just circumstance. Sometimes it's no one's fault. It's just circumstance.
Yeah. So sometimes you just need to relax and get drunk.
Yeah.
And that's really what I'm here for.
Exactly. So. Exactly. What is the best way to relax after work with these particular stories?
I would say always, as far as like relaxing, I mm-hmm. say that there's like a plethora of different ways to relax. I think that there are many different options out there. I know that like a lot of people sometimes get stuck in a rut of enjoying either, your Prosecco's or your Moscato's. Or your Chardonnays from California or something along those lines that you just kind of recognize and it's your safety net and what you just kind of like.
Yeah.
And basically I brought along some ideas of stuff that are different, but we'll just expand your horizon just a little bit.
I love it.
Yeah.
Also, quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Since your work is wine mm-hmm. and alcohol, how do you unwind at the end of the night? Because is it ever stressful to like come home and be like, man, now I have to pick a drink for me?
No.
Or is it fun?
No, it's awesome.
Okay, great.
For me, I get an awesome opportunity of tasting all of the amazing wines of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I go home, I really like to have either like a Pabst or, a Miller Lite. If I'm visiting my parents, I'll have a Spotted Cow from New Glarus,
mm-hmm.
Something that's, not necessarily, I enjoy beer, to relax just because it's not wine.
Yeah. You're wine not is, bringing home
yeah,
work with
wine
you.
Wine is work. Yeah. And also just having something that's, not lowbrow, but like just something that's normal,
right.
You just gotta having lawful ideas is awesome, but like just relaxing and having fun is also just as important.
Yes.
And so that's really what I'm about, is just being multifaceted in that sense.
I like it. Yeah. I like it very much. Also, before we start into pairing these stories that people have submitted yes. with wine, I do want to say that this is potentially an episode that if you ever listen with kids around, like if I usually try to make the podcast such that you could listen to it with your nanny kids, like while you're cleaning the kitchen or something like that. We don't curse on here for that reason. We try to keep it clean. But this episode, we will be talking about more adult themes in that we're talking about drinking specifically. Also, never drink and drive. And the nanny in me needs to say these things. Never drink and drive. And don't overdrink, guys. Just use it to unwind if you want. Also, don't drink if you don't want to drink. There are people, I play on a kickball team on Wednesdays, and there are people that pressure other people to drink, and I'm the nanny there too, of being like, everyone can drink exactly how much they want to drink of whatever they want to drink.
I completely agree with that. I can sometimes be a little bit of a pusher in that sense of drinking, but I think one of the best quotes I ever heard was that there's a reason why there's 5 glasses in a bottle of wine, and it's meant to be shared, not just consumed by one person.
Yeah.
You know?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my little like tag warning at the beginning of this is that if there are small ears around and you don't want them hearing about delicious forms of alcohol, then stop listening and listen later when there aren't small ears around.
Exactly.
Great. Well, let's get started with Rachel Harvey submitted this story. to be paired with a wine. She said that she was flying a kite with a 2- and a 5-year-old, and the 5-year-old was crying because the kite was broken and wasn't working, and the 2-year-old was crying because she couldn't keep up with them running and trying to fly the kite, and Rachel was crying because she had to run.
Running is stressful.
It is.
I hate it.
I really do. There's a meme or a gif from Parks and Rec where Anne is like, I mean, I know running's good for your body, but at what cost?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. Like, at what cost is this, like, is happening here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so as far as running after kites, I did something cheeky, and I thought of doing a cocktail to start off with this.
All right.
And the cocktail is called an aviation.
Love it.
I know, right?
Very so, punny.
I know. Yeah, that's really what I'm all about.
I love puns.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a good pun?
Exactly.
I know. Shakespeare used
people
puns.
Who are dead inside.
Yes. Yeah, losers.
Sorry, listeners, if you don't like puns, but maybe this isn't the episode for you.
Exactly. So an aviation is a gin-based cocktail. And so it's primarily gin with also a maraschino liqueur.
Okay.
You can find Luxardo. Mm-hmm. Basically, it just means that maraschino cherries that have been made into some sort of liquor. Okay. Creme de violet that you can find at Benny's or anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And then just some lemon juice. You just shake it up and then you you serve it up. Because it's an aviation, so you can't serve this on the racks.
Up means what?
Oh, I'm sorry. So
no,
up,
that's okay. Yeah. You're just going to have to walk me through all
I
this.
I know, and I'm using lingo, so you curb me. So up... A good rule of thumb is up means anytime that it's up off of the table or floor or wherever you're serving your alcohol from. So like a martini glass is served up. Generally, it means that there's no ice in there.
Right.
As well.
But you shake it with ice to make it cold, right?
You should shake it with ice because there's lemon juice in there.
Right.
And yeah, so shake it vigorously and then strain it. If you have like a strainer in there as well to catch all the little ice particles,
right?
You know, use that too. But like, you know, you don't have to be too fancy about it.
Okay.
It also comes
like a delicious drink.
Yeah, and the best part, it comes out purple.
Ooh,
as well. Yeah,
fun.
I know. Yeah, so you look like you have a very fancy cocktail when you're done.
Yeah.
I know.
All right. Yeah. I'm gonna try to post some of these recipes too.
Yeah,
well, on the Facebook group.
Also, I could just send it to you.
Yeah,
well.
That would be great. Yeah. So if you are listening and you're like driving and you're like, no, I can't write down that delicious sounding recipe.
Because you're drinking and driving at this. No, I'm just kidding.
They're not, because they heard me at the beginning
know,
of this.
I know.
No,
sorry.
But they don't want to write it down while they're driving,
which is also really bad.
Yeah,
almost as bad.
I had nanny kids once because I'm very like I need to be focused when I'm driving, and so I have talked on the podcast before about. I using the 3-question rule. So if we're driving really far, I'm like, you get to ask me 3 questions.
That's brilliant.
And after that, I'm not answering anymore. And then they'll ask a question. I'll be like, do you want that to be one of your questions? And then they'll be like, oh no, I got to think about this. And usually they don't make it to 3.
Yeah.
But
that's brilliant.
I had kids that were like, why don't you just pull over? And I was like, you foiled me, children.
Yeah.
That would be safe probably, but no, I'm not going to, because we got to get where we're going.
Yeah,
because
then it would take forever.
Yeah,
you'd be pulling over every 2 minutes.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Which I tried to explain to them, but they didn't.
Did you just tell them that they were ridiculous?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah,
in nicer words than that.
Oh,
I was like, that doesn't work.
See, that's why I can't be a nanny.
Right,
I would be. Yeah,
you have to have patience for days.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
Well, wonderful. So, in aviation, for if you have to fly a kite that
or
is
run.
Broken. Or run. Yeah, that also sounds like a great post-running drink.
Yeah, exactly.
Or just instead of running.
Great.
Next up, Kim Castle said, my nanny kid was 4 or 5 at the time, and the parents were out of town. I just remembered which story this was. The parents were out of town in Vegas, and so she was doing overnights.
Mm-hmm.
And her nanny kid got his penis caught in the zipper of his footy pajamas.
Jesus.
And so Kim called the mom boss, mm-hmm. who was super wasted because they were in Vegas. We said that at the beginning of the story. Yeah. And so the mom boss yells to her husband, the S... pulled a "there's something about Mary."
Oh boy.
Which is maybe the best way to phrase that.
Oh yeah.
Which even if she wasn't drunk, I hope that she would still use that. But I do feel so sorry for this nanny kid. And so Kim was praying that no one would look in the window while she was trying to remove his penis from the zipper. And she added that the child was not circumcised. So it just got worse.
That is an awful day.
That really is.
Not only for her, but also for that you know, person having a penis.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Poor
God.
Poor little guy.
I know. And can I just say that, like, that scene and There's Something About Mary is one of the hardest scenes to watch.
I'm sure it is. It's
do you have to do a lot of, this is a question for you, do you have to do a lot of penis-related, like, injury? Like, is this a common thing that's happening to...
No, and it's never happened to me.
Okay, thank God.
Though it has happened to a nanny kid, but his parents were doing it, but I heard about it the next time. They were like, we threw away all of the zipper pajamas. Usually pajama related.
For the safety of, yeah.
Yeah, and they were like, so we only have shirts and pants now, so it cannot happen again.
Oh my God.
They were like, that was the only way he would let us put on pajamas anymore.
Yeah. Do you know the other terrifying thing about the stories that she never says if she like got the penis out or not, so there could be like a kid just walking around right now
that's true
that's just got a
still in tiny pajamas
forever.
That visual is both sad and hilarious.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
So this one stressed me out.
Okay, yeah.
As, you know.
Yeah, as a man.
Yeah, as someone walking around with a penis.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so what I said was that you needed something very strong that would make you forget about this experience.
Uh-huh.
And so with that, I said that there's this liqueur called Chartreuse.
Uh-huh.
And it's coming from France, and it is 51% alcohol. So
oh
it's
my
110
gosh.
Proof, but it tastes like sugar.
It is
magic. This Chartreuse is one of those like liqueurs or aperitifs and Amaros that like Amaros and Digestifs always kind of are wrapped around mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Like think of your Fernets and things of that nature that like nobody knows the recipe, and like Chartreuse is kind of like the holy grail of like secrets.
Oh.
And so Chartreuse is made by two monks from the Chartreuse. Yes.
I'm in it.
Yeah. Two monks. They are separated and then they take a vow of silence.
Uh-huh.
And then they are the only ones that know like the 130 different recipes or such that are like ingredients that go into making Chartreuse.
Uh-huh.
And then they bottle them up and and then they ship them out.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
Yes.
I am allergic to tree nuts. So, like...
So anybody that's, like, allergic to, like, nuts or anything like that, this is a distillate. And so anytime...
So, it's okay.
So same idea with, like, people that, like, are worried about gluten because bourbon is made from, you know...
rye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
Are from barley, right?
Oh, okay.
And so anytime you distill something, it goes through a process where evaporation is part of it. And so you're removing the proteins.
Okay.
And so because you're allergic to nuts, the proteins are being left behind. So you can't be allergic to this.
Great.
Yes.
That's so nice to know.
Yeah.
But I can be okay, let me ask you this. Can I be allergic to amaretto, which is made from almonds, or is that distilled to the point?
You know, that is a fantastic question.
Okay.
I want to say no, but I am not a dietitian.
I'm not going to test it.
And so...
maybe I'll look it up online.
I'm pretty sure the same rules apply.
Yeah.
But I don't know the process for making amaretto 100%.
I just found out I can drink Di Serono because it's made from apricots.
Yeah.
So I knew that one.
Yeah. So...
but...
yeah. Anytime that like there's some sort of distillation that's part of the process, you don't really have to worry about that.
Okay. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a sidebar for me and anyone else allergic to tree nuts.
Yeah. Or
now
gluten.
You know. Or gluten. Yeah.
Now you can go drink all the scotch you want.
You don't have to worry about on your gluten-free diet.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So you were recommending...
Chartreuse.
Chartreuse.
Here's the reason why. First off, it tastes like sugar. So you're going to drink a lot of it.
Right.
And it's really alcoholic. So you only need like 3 or 4 shots. But you will forget that day.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
And you will have one heck of a hangover the next day.
Because it tastes like sugar?
Because it tastes like sugar,
and it's really alcoholic.
Yeah.
So
be careful.
So don't do it when you have to work a 10-hour day the next day.
Yeah, don't do that. And don't drink it around kids. Yeah. You know?
Because they might be like, oh, it's so sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that would be really bad.
Yeah, there's green as well as yellow chartreuse. The green chartreuse is more alcoholic.
Okay.
Just in case you want
to,
you know.
So, like, green means go to alcohol town.
Yellow means, like, you're going to have a kind of a nice night. And green means, no, let's go. Let's get this done. Let's get drunk.
I like it. Has anyone ever tried to, like, break in, get the monk's secrets?
Yeah, it's happened a couple times in history.
Yes.
And so there was a story where at one point one of the monks was, I forget the story exactly, but... and I'm sure somebody on your podcast will be more than happy to correct me. but one of the monks was arrested and was brought to Bordeaux. And he had one of the recipes on him. And he wasn't searched.
Oh.
And luckily, they were able to get it out. But that was like the closest in history where somebody was able to find it.
Wow.
And he was arrested because he was working in this secret area. And like they wanted to... expand it, and they were trying to move to Spain, and there was like some sort of like national security thing going on.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they tried to lock him up into Bordeaux and try and like get him to say the secrets, and ironically it was on him. I believe that's how the story goes.
Yeah.
But he definitely did get arrested.
Even if it's not, that's a great story.
I know. So let's just say that it was true and like nobody look it up anywhere on the internet.
Don't look it up, guys. Yeah. Just believe in magic.
Yeah, just believe that I'm just saying 100% factual things.
Yep. I buy it.
Yeah.
Well, great.
Yeah.
That is a great pairing, I think.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Michelle McLean. Also, I do want to take this moment to say, if I say your name wrong, I am so sorry. I got these off Facebook. I tried to look up how to say them, but, you know, it's...
names are hard.
It's hard.
Yeah, don't be too hard on yourself.
Thanks.
It's okay.
But if I say your name wrong, I'm super sorry. Write in. Email me at chroniclesofnania@gmail.com and tell me I said your name wrong, and then tell me a funny story about a child.
Yeah.
And that will be great for everyone involved. But she had one of those runs of events that just... I've experienced it as a nanny where it's just like nothing is going right. So she said, in the space of 2 days last week, I broke a coffee cup, did a load of baby clothes and turned them all pink thanks to a rogue red onesie that was in there, spilled a potty full of wee all over the bathroom floor and myself, got vomited on by Bub, who I assume is her little one, who had just started solids, was changing his diaper legs up, and he basically sharted on her top. And then her mom boss walked in, took one look at her, and went downstairs to get her wine. So
nice.
At least she has an understanding a mom that she works for.
Because the mom just like, I would say follow the mom.
Yeah.
Figure out what she's drinking. You know, and try and get some, you know, try and...
Yeah.
Because I understand that, like, with nannies, a lot of times you get bottles from, like, the people that
our nanny families.
Yeah. Which is mind-boggling for me.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of awesome.
It is.
So I would always say, you know, try and bump up what you're...
Free wine.
Yeah, free wine is the best wine.
It's the best wine.
For sure. For this one, I would say, again, another cocktail.
Okay,
so,
awesome.
So my version of an Irish coffee is a little bit different than everybody else's. So usually Irish coffee is like Jameson and then coffee and whipped cream. So I don't use Jameson. I use something that's a little bit sweeter, like a honey whiskey or something like that.
Okay.
And then I add an Aperol, which is another liqueur that is made from rhubarb.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's got a little bit of bitterness to it.
Uh-huh.
Kind of matching the coffee. And then Amaro Sabona, which is an Amaro that's coming from the northern part of Italy. An Amaro is like an aperitif. And basically, it's the same idea as that chartreuse being made from herbs and spices and stuff like that. But it's very sweet as well. And so giving you a little bit of sweetness.
Is it also high alcohol?
It is also high alcohol.
Nice.
And so you just mix that all together. And then the beauty of it is that it looks like you're just drinking coffee. Not that I would ever say, like, you should drink on the job. But
no,
like,
never drink on the job. But you could put it in your thermos and, like, take it to a concert on the lawn.
Yeah.
And drink that.
Yeah, after you're done.
Yeah.
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 Sure. Yeah. But nobody knows that you're actually drinking. Just saying. So.
Yeah. So. Does it smell like coffee too?
No, it smells like booze.
Okay, well, then don't let anyone close.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you can.
Yeah, it's gonna smell like booze.
It can
for sure.
Look like you're drinking
absolutely
just coffee.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
Or if you know, that sounds also like a really nice potential brunch drink.
It is a nice brunch drink. Yeah, if you're like with friends and stuff like that, they're looking for something that's a little bit different. You could like make a little whipped cream and put like a little whipped cream on top of there.
That sounds delish.
I know, because you need to unwind on Sundays.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, especially with
you
this,
gotta
like,
mentally prepare yourself. I call it the Sunday scaries.
Yeah.
Of like when you get to that point in your Sunday where you're like, man, my weekend's gone now, and I have 5 days of work coming up.
With handling kids.
Yeah.
It can be really stressful. So
trying to just keep tiny humans alive.
So starting it at like 10 o'clock in the morning, respectively. You
know,
getting a little bit of caffeine in you, but also, you know, starting your day off right with a little bit of booze.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah,
for sure. A nice brunch.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next one comes from Maritza Gomez or Maritza.
Okay.
And she said, when I was first with my nanny family, I had a girl that was 3 and a boy that was 18 months. And one day the kids were having an extra rough day. The 3-year-old girl was feeling sensitive about everything, which I totally, 3-year-olds, man, they do feel sensitive about everything. And I get it. The world is hard.
Girls. Or boys.
Boys, too.
Yeah.
Just 3 years old is just an age of... Because they're starting to learn that they have capacity and autonomy, but they're not allowed to fully exercise it. In fact, there was a really good article that I read about why Frozen was so popular with, like, 3 to 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
Is because Elsa's powers spoke a lot to them because they're like, I feel that. I feel like I have all these powers that I'm not allowed to use.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And so, and that's the beginning of that. So it's the most confusing time.
Yeah. Is that where like the, you know, that you hear about like the terrible 2s or the terrible 3s? Is that what's
that's
from?
Yes. Is that they're starting to be like, I understand some things. I want autonomy. I want to be in charge of my own space and my body. And but they still need help. And so they want to do it by themselves. There's a meme that goes around the nanny groups that's like, my 3-year-old just decided that he's buckling himself in from now on. So I'll see you in 5 hours because you just have to let him like work through it.
And if, you can't just be like, no, we're,
you can, if
pressed for
you,
time.
if you really are pressed for time, like there are times when we have an appointment or like we're going to a class and I'm like, for today, we're going to have to call it at 5 minutes.
But then they get all
But then,
antsy
yeah,
about
yeah,
it
and, he or she is upset.
Yeah.
But then, there are times when, you know, we're going to the park, and I'm like, sure, let's try this out. Let's see how long this takes. because they're never going to learn if you always do it for them.
For sure.
And so, taking or giving those opportunities to allow your nanny kids to put on their own shoes, put on their own jacket, and just experiment with it is really, really important.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, but yes, I've been there when a 3-year-old is feeling sensitive about literally everything. You can be like, would you like water? And they're like, no. And you're like, I was just offering you water.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Maritza couldn't leave her mm-hmm. alone for anything because mm-hmm. she was feeling very sensitive. And the 18-month-old boy wouldn't nap. So there was extra crying and general crankiness all day. And then the mom boss came home from a meeting. She was a work-from-home mom and left for meetings. So Maritza was used to her being around. And suddenly the kids had a meltdown, which that happens all the time. I call it the witching hour of like mm-hmm. that crossover from when parents get home and you're still there and kids just sometimes are confused. We have an episode about it called Transition Times mm-hmm. of they're just like, who's in charge?
Yeah.
Because everyone that tells me what to do is here and I hate it. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, 10 minutes before she is getting ready to leave, right at witching hour, so she calls it witching hour too, mm-hmm. Neither were consolable. And finally the mom said, okay, you can go have a glass of wine or have the whole bottle.
Nice.
So that mom boss was in the know as well.
Yeah. And was just like, here's a bottle on me.
Yeah, exactly.
My suggestion as far as like bottles, you mm-hmm. know, and pulling bottles, because it'd be dangerous, you know, like, because you're like, I don't know if this bottle is worth $20.
Right.
Or if it's worth, you know, $5,000.
Yeah.
And I imagine that if, you know, you have a nanny, you might be able to have a $5,000 bottle. It's not inconceivable.
No, it's certainly not.
And so I would say the small Amy is like, take that $5,000 bottle and run and just run. And then just run for the hill. You know, you're screaming. If there's an eagle on it, it's called Screaming Eagle. Grab that one.
Is that one a really good one?
Yeah, that's one of the most expensive bottles
in
the world.
Okay.
There's a Sauvignon Blanc that just came out. It's like $7,000. Yeah,
right.
I know, like mind-boggling.
I would just feel bad.
Oh, yeah, don't do it for real.
No, but I would feel bad, like even if I saved up the money or was given that as a gift, mm-hmm. I would feel bad drinking that.
Yeah,
because I would want to be like, sell this, let me pay my rent for months on this bottle of wine, you know.
I know. Like, I think it's going to go down a rabbit hole for
sure. Okay, great.
But as far as, like, wine is concerned, I think that they're having this idea of expensive wine is somehow odd. And mm-hmm. how bottles can sometimes be $5, $10. At True, where I first worked, there was a $30,000 bottle of DRC 1990.
Whoa.
Yeah, right? And just working around in that cellar and just knowing that somewhere there was a bottle worth, you know, more money than I would make that year.
And like if your elbow bumped it.
Yeah. Bye, you know?
Bye. I'm sure it is like
insured.
Secure and insured.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, if it costs as much as a car,
I mean, like,
you would think it
would be insured. Yeah, I mean, insured. Like a cellar for a restaurant is always insured.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And as under lock and key and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's this idea that like a $5,000 bottle or a $10,000 bottle is like a weird thing. I personally believe that it's my Somali that I'm working for,
uh-huh.
Parag Wale, he's extraordinarily talented and a beautiful human being. And he referred to wine one of the first times I was working with him on the floor as anthropology, archaeology, and life in a bottle.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's really poetic. He said it a lot better than I just did.
you said it lovely.
Oh, thank you. but the idea that like knowing these vintages and like what happened in those years, like you know, in 1961, for instance, in Bordeaux, it was war torn. Mm-hmm. The Germans just came through, right, and just demolished this entire region.
Right.
And so 1961 was like that first year that they had an awesome vintage after World War II, you know, right. after the Nazis left. And it was like this first symbol of hope for the French. And just to have that idea and having that sense in a bottle is extraordinarily important and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I can perceive spending, you know, $5,000 on that idea.
Yeah, that's a way that I had not thought about it before.
Yeah.
If I ever have $5,000
extra. If you ever have $5,000 to spend on one bottle, yeah.
You
I mean, I don't have $5,000 to spend.
I know.
Yeah. Like, I know. Nobody does. Like,
well, people do.
Some people do, for sure.
But yeah.
But I think that, like, it's beautiful. And
yeah.
There's reasons behind it more than just this sense of greed or just because of willy-nilly ness
right.
the industry.
Right.
And the more that you study it, the more that you realize it. The more beautiful it becomes, and the less it becomes about the arbitrary amount that wine is worth.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes total sense, and I love the idea of the history being important.
Yeah.
In the pricing.
Yeah.
The fact that there is a lot of history about that.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah. Exactly.
I love it.
Cool.
Awesome. So wait, did we pair a wine with that?
I said just steal the most expensive bottle that they
in
got.
In there? Okay.
Because yeah, you deserve it.
I like it.
You're worth it. Treat yourself.
I like it. Okay, if someone's like, go pick any bottle you want, are there tips to...
Pick out a bottle. Oh, well, okay. So if it says Burgundy on it, if it says Bordeaux on it... if you know it's coming from France and you can't really make out what it says on the label, more than likely it's going to be an expensive bottle.
Okay.
So I would say, like, have at it, you
right.
know, and pick out a bottle, but before you leave, just say, is this one okay?
Uh-huh.
And if they say yes, there you shouldn't feel guilty about it,
because right.
they said yes, you
yeah.
know. And then open it and enjoy it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it very much. Awesome. Well, then let's move on to Hannah Joy mm-hmm. DeVoe is how I'm going to pronounce it.
Cool.
She said, this is so funny to me. A few years ago, I was nannying for a boy, an 8-year-old boy, and he was anxiously awaiting a Nerf gun, which I know Nerf guns are super important to mm-hmm. 8-year-old boys
mm-hmm.
And girls, but like eight is the perfect age for a Nerf gun.
Yeah.
You can aim it. You can like do things with it. And so his mom had ordered it for him online, and they were waiting for it to arrive. And he kept telling Hannah that it was expected to arrive that day.
Mm-hmm.
So when a package arrived, she gave it to him to open as she was cleaning up the kitchen. A minute later, she saw him walking to his room with his head down. So she asked him, "What's wrong?" And he said, "It's not my Nerf gun," and walked to his room. So Hannah went to move the package and saw the biggest dildo she has ever seen inside of it.
Oh, man.
Along with a lockbox. Assumedly for the dildo,
yeah,
which is hilarious.
It didn't get in there in time.
Nope, it missed the window.
Yeah,
and so she left it out for the mom bus.
Oh man,
she said that was a vodka day. No amount of wine will ever be enough
yeah.
for me or for that child.
Yeah, vodka day for sure. Just straight up start drinking from a flask.
Yeah.
That's when I would say bring a flask with you.
Yeah.
My suggestion always for with a flask, which a good friend of mine has suggested and I always use, is mm-hmm. instead of using like straight liquor, which I think a lot of people do,
uh-huh.
I prefer to use like honey whiskeys and things like that, because it's sweeter.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have as much burn. But it gets you drunk.
Right.
And so it's a nice, easy sipper. So that's my suggestion for your hip flask.
Honey whiskey in a flask.
Honey whiskey in a flask.
Or, I like it.
Yeah. Or flavored vodka. I mean, just something that's, you know.
Cucumber vodka.
I think that like having just straight grain alcohol in a flask is so aggressive.
Yes.
I think you got to put a little bit of flavor into your hip flask.
I like it. I like that very much. And I feel like that's on her a little bit.
Yeah, that's totally on the mom. Like
you know that your child, you ordered a Nerf gun for your child.
And like you, was it like on the same Amazon
basket?
Is that what was happening?
She
had probably a little too much honey whiskey and was shopping and like just had at it.
I've been there, not ordering a dildo, but where I where I ordered like things I don't need.
Yeah.
Bed risers.
Sure.
I'm like, yeah, I'll have so much more room under my bed.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea. But it seems great late at night, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Like when you're like in the like twilight hours,
and,
you know, you just are like, I should just buy all the things right
all
now.
All the things. I got paid.
Yeah.
I can.
I'll get paid again soon. So like, what's the problem here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally feel you.
I've got money in my account. It's fine. I don't need to spend it on food or healthcare.
Exactly.
Great. Okay. So Allison Jackson said that her 2.5-year-old girl nanny kid was taunting bad behavior, she was doing taunting bad behavior in front of Allison and eventually in front of the mom boss, knowing that Allison would be upset by it only to have the mom boss respond with, she's just testing you. What do you want me to do? Tell her not to taunt you with bad behavior. And Allison was like, that might be a good start. So that's the background information. The story is that this 2.5-year-old girl had not been listening well at all for several weeks in a row. And eventually she intentionally wouldn't listen. And while Allison was cleaning and vacuuming, she jumps up on the couch, running across it, which is a household rule that she isn't allowed to do that. And so Allison asked her nicely to get off and she didn't listen. And she asked her again to get down and she still didn't listen. So Allison picked her up and took her off the couch and the girl ran away. So then the mom boss comes home and they chatted about how the day went before Allison headed home. And the nanny kid got back up on the couch again and says, Allie, trying to get her attention. And while Allison's talking to the mom boss, and finally she says yes. And she was ignoring her because she knew that the child was pushing on purpose. And the girl, the 2.5-year-old girl, points to her feet with both hands and says, I'm standing on the couch. And Allison said, thank God it was Friday.
Yeah.
Because you need the whole weekend to calm down from that.
Yes. I feel like you need a week to calm down from that. That sounds, I'm just going to say it. That kid sounds awful.
Yeah.
Like just a monster.
Yeah.
I feel very bad for that nanny.
That is terrible twos at its peak.
Yeah. But also like just terrible. Like, I don't know, like. If you're a parent, I feel like you should be like part of the team.
Yeah,
you know, and like and like also like managing, helping your kids, like respecting authority and like
and boundaries and no, it makes a huge difference to have a nanny family that the parents will back you up. Which we talk about in the communication episode with nanny families, the boundaries episode. That's something that we've talked about on several episodes. So if that is something that you're struggling with besides drinking the drink that Dan's about to propose, also go listen to those episodes. Also conflict resolution episode is a great one to listen to for this type of problem.
Yeah. It sounds like just the worst.
Yeah.
I can't imagine like parents just I don't know, like, just because it's not the nanny, I imagine, like, being like, okay, you're not allowed to be on the couch. It's totally like the parents' rule.
Right.
And like, why
it's
aren't
like,
they?
I'm just enforcing this because you want me to.
Exactly.
Parents.
Like, just help me help you. Yeah. Like, help your kid, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Be cool, you know? That would get me all sorts of frustrated.
Uh-huh.
And so I could
that
imagine.
That doesn't happen at your job? No one climbs up on couches and.
I have. Okay, I got a story. So we do have, so a lot of like fine dining restaurants, like Alinea, very famously doesn't allow kids. Like it was a whole like Twitter thing.
Right. I think I do remember that.
Yeah, there was like a Twitter baby account for a while that was like, got like a million followers or something like that.
Nice.
From some sort of comedian. And so like Brett Atkins was just like, nah, no more. You're not allowed in my restaurant, babies. But we still allow babies.
Okay.
And so a lot of times there's adults like businessmen,
mm-hmm.
That are flying overseas. One of the phenomenons of my restaurant as well is that people will fly in from like Hong Kong or from anywhere,
from anywhere,
Hong Kong or anywhere
or anywhere.
So, they'll fly in, they'll land in Chicago. They will eat at our restaurant and then they will take a flight and then fly back home.
Really?
Yeah, it happens quite a bit.
Wow.
And it's kind of mind-boggling. And so we had one of those types of people that came in, a businessman with his wife, and he had like a 2 or 3 year old. And so the 2 and 3 year old was like running around the dining room, like going up to other tables and like pestering them. And we had to like be like,
you need a baby bouncer.
We started to have to like block them out, like hip check them as we were like dropping food. No, we didn't really, but at one point though, the kid went to a table. Luckily nobody was at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Stood on top of the table and went out towards the window, dropped his pants and his diaper, and just started waving his little penis around.
No.
Yes. Yeah. And
I mean, I get it, but
well, like,
but no.
I mean, like, yeah, you're a little baby, like, but also at the same time. And yeah, that conversation was very awkward with the parents, of just being mm-hmm. like,
you can't.
You gotta at least focus a little bit on your kid.
Yeah.
Like we really were at wit's end. We were like, if that happened, if your baby starts showing his penis to more people, we're gonna have to eventually ask him to go.
Yeah. Like, and you should go with him.
Yeah. Like it's very
because odd. They seem like the type of parents that might be like, okay, fine, the baby can go.
Yeah. We've had a lot of like odd things happen as far as like babies.
Yeah.
Are concerned, and it's very, I don't know, like it just seems like these people live in a different world.
Yes.
That come into the restaurant sometimes. Like, yeah. So most of the people are very cool, but the people that are not so cool live in a completely different world.
Yep.
And it's fine.
I totally understand that. I listen to, I really like John and Hank Green.
Mm-hmm.
They're the Vlog Brothers. John Green is a young adult novelist.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like his work, but they have a podcast and Hank recently had a child. I mean, maybe not that recently anymore, 'cause I'm in kind of backlog, but he was talking about how he's like, my wife and I have just like come to the realization that we don't get to go.
Yeah.
Like to restaurants right now,
mm-hmm.
that our child is not of the age,
yeah,
that we get to go enjoy a meal out, at yeah. least not at normal like dining hours. He's mm-hmm. like, sometimes we'll go out at like 4 so that it's not crowded and we can like get in and out,
yeah,
quickly. But he was like, we don't get to go to our favorite spots anymore,
yeah,
and that's the contract. That the social contract we agreed to by having a child, that for a couple years.
You just got to stay at home for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I do think that there certainly are restaurants that are fine to take your child out to. But no matter where you take your child, as someone who has been a mm-hmm. waitress, respect that you are in a public space.
Yeah.
And model behavior that you would want to see.
Yeah, from your child.
From
yeah.
your child.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
But
but sometimes it is, it seems like.
Well, you just call me next time. I'll come
I will.
Set those
and you'll just
straight.
Run right over yep. and just help me out.
I'll bring all of my nanny children that I've ever worked with are great at restaurants because of the things that we do. We talked about ending mealtime struggles in two episodes. It was two episodes ago with Katie Leineke. So if that is an issue that you are having, go listen to the ending mealtime struggles episode because if you practice at home, going out to a restaurant is actually pleasant. I have people come up and compliment my nanny kids all the time about their restaurant.
Yeah, I think it's important.
Decorum.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's important to practice at home before you go out. Yeah,
for sure.
So this pairing.
Yeah.
I would not suggest tequila. Because this would just enrage me. And, you know, like, I think that any sort of, like, I don't know, alcohol that would just bring you down deeper into, you know.
Into rage city.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Would just be bad. So no vodka or tequila or any sort of bourbon. I would say this is like a good one for wine. And for me, well, the wine that makes me the most happy is definitely Bubbles. I mean, like, that's why I brought Bubbles over for us. Because, you know, it just makes you light. It makes you happy.
I agree.
It just, you know, it's very antithetical. You know, it's very much the opposite of what you're feeling right now. and sometimes you just, you know, it's like listening to, like, happy songs when you're sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this would be a nice one. And so this one would be Argyle.
Okay.
It's coming from Dundee Hills. So that's in Oregon. And it's the producer is Roland Souls. This is a blend of Pinot Noir as well as Chardonnay. And so it's very reminiscent to what you would find in Champagne. They also use the same method that you would find in Champagne, meaning that they do one fermentation in the barrels, and then they do another one in the bottle itself. And what that does is it just creates nicer, more finesse, more beauty, more precision, and more acid, everything that you're kind of looking for to have a good time. And
that
also
sounds delicious.
And also the bonus part is that you can find it at Benny's right now, and it's like $18.
What?
Yeah, it's like $16 to $18 right now.
Argyle?
Argyle. And it's amazing.
Bye.
Yeah.
Podcast over.
You just leave right now.
No, but those are like two of my favorite wines too. So that they're combining together and making a beautiful.
Yeah, most sparkling wine, I mean, like outside of like Moscato or Prosecco or things of that wine, of that vein, excuse me, are usually blends.
Okay.
Champagnes are usually blends as well.
Nice.
Yep.
Good to know.
I know.
I had no idea.
It's cool. Like, that's why I'm here.
All right. Well, I am not even full of rage, and I might go buy that later this week.
Just
this
in case
weekend.
You get, you know, full of rage
for whatever reason,
you should just have a bottle of that.
Strike.
For $18, I mean, like, you can't afford not. It sounds like I'm like Argyle's spokesperson. For $18, you can't afford not to have it in your fridge.
Exactly.
But it is amazing. It's amazing stuff. So
nice.
I would definitely suggest it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Okay. So this next one comes from Heather. She submitted a few, but the one that stuck with me is that she noticed a river running down the hallway.
Oh, boy.
One of the kids had plugged the bathroom sink, turned on the faucet, shut the door, and then forgot about it.
Oh, boy.
And it had been flooding the bathroom for over an hour.
Oh, man.
Which I do totally understand because I have nannied in houses that you're working on one floor with the kids and like you don't have an idea of what's going on another floor, you know, because all of the kids that you are nannying are on the same floor as you. So if the kids are spread out throughout the house, then I totally have an idea of what is happening on each floor. But I do get focused on a floor and could not notice something running for a long time.
An hour.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see it.
I could,
you know,
too.
Sometimes you just, you know.
Especially well-insulated houses also, the sounds don't carry.
Exactly.
So.
It's like that's, I don't know. I was going to say it's like that scene in Breaking Bad with the tub, but it's totally not like that at all, but different.
Gosh,
I don't know.
I hope it is not like that
my
scene.
God. I don't know what I'm saying.
That's a different podcast.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. Please just ignore that statement.
But I cannot imagine telling your nanny family.
that you've like, yeah, that there's
it's been flooding for an hour.
I know, that's stressful.
That is stressful.
I would say clean it up immediately.
Uh-huh.
And I would never suggest drinking on the job, even right. though I have already like several times. But
but don't do it.
But don't. But if you were going to, this is my suggestion. There's a Pinot Noir out there from Central Coast, so coming from California. The producer is Alloy, and the beauty of it, it comes in a can.
What?
I know. It comes in a can.
Wow.
I know. So
how does that affect the taste?
I don't know.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. So you can either, make wine in either oak or stainless steel, or there's actually several different ways that you can do it, but those are the two main ones. And like each one has its own effect on it. But as far as like having like an aluminum can versus like a glass bottle, the fermentation has already taken place.
Okay.
As far as like aging and stuff like that, this doesn't have like a huge aging potential to it. Like, right. don't sell her this this can for your 20th anniversary. This is meant to be enjoyed right away. But it's not really going to affect like the taste of it at all. And plus, it's just like that. It's always sunny. You know what I'm talking about? Where they put the wine into the can.
Yes.
And then it frees them up for gesturing. Like you have now Pinot Noir in a can. And now you're free to like clean up and like in a hurried fashion, but also, take the edge off of this extremely stressful situation.
I like it.
Yeah.
Or even afterwards, when you get home, you can pace and shake your hands and gesture.
Well, while you're telling your friends this really stressful, this really stressful story. Now all of your wine is contained
safe.
Is safe in a can.
Like it.
Yeah.
I like it very much.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Second to last one. We're rounding them up. Chelsea Waite said a few weeks ago she was letting one of her charges, their twins, 19-month-old twins.
Mm-hmm.
Run around. So one of them is running around naked to air out a terrible diaper rash, which I get.
Okay.
30 seconds after she gets him good and naked, his brother, twin brother, fell off the couch and started screaming. And so she grabbed the twin and reassured him. And then she turned around to find the naked little buddy finger painting with his poop on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Boy, do you guys deal with a lot of poop?
With babies, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine a lot of poop.
I don't really anymore. My nanny kids are
have grown up.
So. Once they hit even preschool age, usually preschools ask them to be toilet trained.
Nice.
So. So yeah, once they hit preschool age,
and you don't have to deal with poop anymore.
Yeah, and not on a regular basis. There's of course, times.
I'll imagine like a lot of vomit, like
yeah.
I have to deal with a lot of vomit.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, which is kind of weird,
When I worked at a bar, I did say it was like nannying.
Yeah, a little bit. Sometimes you got to just deal with it.
Our margaritas were very strong.
Yeah. Well, and our food is so rich that I think that this is like a common thing for like fine dining.
Oh, yeah.
That like people get wine pairings and then like on top of that, you're eating food that's more calories and also richer than you're used to.
Yeah.
And so like it's very easy to see like somebody just, not being able to handle it. It's not even that they're drunk. I think it's just,
it's just a lot.
It's just a lot.
It's a very different change of pace.
Because it's very French and, it's very European, I should say.
Right. Right.
And so it's very rich. So for this one, I would say it's not that serious. Sorry, but like poop is poop and like it's fine.
Right.
I'm not downplaying this person's point.
Right.
I'm sure that it's awful. But unwinding from this for sure is definitely needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say just like a nice red.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that I said Rioja.
Okay.
So Rioja is coming from Spain. And so it's one of the like most prestigious areas in Spain. And the cool thing about Spain is that they make their wines for a very long time. They use a lot of aging requirements. It's very strict there, but the value there is quite remarkable. And at the same time, especially in Rioja, they have to use American oak opposed to like French oak, even though France is like right there.
Yeah.
And so it's in a lot of ways, it's a very nice transition if you're like a person that enjoys like Pinot Noir from, you know, California, or you enjoy Cabernet Sauvignon from the Napa Valley.
Right.
This is a very nice transition into Europe because the wood being used is the same. So you're going to find a lot of the same notes.
Okay.
I said Lopez de Haro. I hope I'm saying that right. my suggestion for this. They do a Crianza, which is the minimum of the aging potential.
Okay.
And it's like $13 at Benny's. But just like a nice bottle. Again, a lot of care and love has gone into it, but extraordinarily affordable at the same time, you know, and it's coming from Europe. So it makes you feel fancy.
Right.
That's really what it's about.
You need to feel a little fancy after you've cleaned up poop.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You got to feel a little sophisticated.
Yeah.
After you've cleaned up poop for sure.
I totally agree. That's a great suggestion.
Yeah.
All right. Last one. And this one comes from Sue Downey, who is one of the two hosts of the Practically Perfect podcast. We did a crossover episode, so you should check both of those sides out of the Practically Perfect podcast. Hello, Sue. She says, when a two-year-old locks you out of the house and then climbs on the counter and eats his sister's gingerbread house... But she said, don't worry, that when he was done, he let Sue back in. But just the calculation of I'm going to lock my nanny out of the house just long enough to not only eat a gingerbread house, which to me is gross, but to eat his sister's gingerbread house.
Mm-hmm.
So like sibling nettling, you know? It's very impressive and shows a lot of foresight that I don't think we see in 2-year-olds very often.
Yeah, for sure. that's a lot.
Yeah.
just to deal with. I would say I'm going to bookend it. So I started with a cocktail, so I'm going to end with a cocktail.
I like it.
And so for this one is called The Last Word. So I'm going to bring back that chartreuse. So chartreuse, it is that Luxardo, so that maraschino liqueur again, lime, and then gin as well.
Ooh.
I'm a huge fan of gin cocktails.
I really like gin a lot as well.
Yeah, so this one, again, super alcoholic, but it's going to calm you down. It's nice and sweet. They call it the last word because it's supposed to be the last cocktail you have for the night, because it's like the last. it is going to knock you right on your butt.
Yep.
But like when kids are being jerks, like in that way that's so aggressive,
right?
I think that you should just have a very alcoholic cocktail, you know, right in your back pocket.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so any cocktail would do, but and I would say go to a bar while this is happening. You know, just wait it out. Just go to a bar. Like, they're not going anywhere.
Look at your nanny cam on your phone. Yeah.
Order a last word, you know, or a whiskey sour or whatever. Uh-huh. Tell them how to make it. And then just come back. That would be my suggestion.
I like it.
Yeah.
I am pretty constantly in fear of being locked out of the house by children, because I did it as a child a lot.
Really?
I thought it was hilarious as a child.
That's not cool.
And now I know it's not cool, but but as a child I loved it. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like karma is going to get me at some point.
Yeah.
And so I am pretty like paranoid and take my keys with me, even if I'm like taking the trash out,
because you just don't want to risk it.
I don't want to risk it.
I know. Like, there's nothing like more terrifying than like being locked out of a house and having a child still in there.
I know.
With like any capabilities. It just reminds me of that scene from like Uncle Buck. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so. Okay, it's been a long time since I've seen Uncle Buck.
Like he gets locked out.
Yeah.
At one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only imagine that. Because if the child thinks it's funny, that's a moment that you have to really practice, like, your nanny poker face. Mm-hmm. Because if you freak out at all, then your odds of being let back in go down the more you freak out. Yeah. And so you have to just be like, oh, hey, I locked myself out. Or, like, ring the doorbell and be like, who's here?
Opposed to being like just like yanking on the door handle
and
like slamming on the door.
Because then you're giving up all your power.
Yeah, that's why you should just start drinking immediately as soon as that happens.
Or wait until you get home.
I'm sorry. Yes. I'm a terrible advocate for not drinking on the job.
Well, I mean, you do also work a job where you can drink on the job, right? Or can
I
you
taste,
not?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can taste. You
we like to say we taste judiciously.
Okay.
But
I like it.
That's one of the perks of the job is that you're constantly tasting wine.
Yeah, see, we're legally responsible for
that's
the children
terrifying.
In our care,
I can't imagine being legally like responsible for another
so
human being.
So the second you add alcohol, your legal responsibility is in jeopardy.
For sure.
If anything bad were to happen. So
I do
urge you to think about that. if anyone out there is considering drinking on the job, please don't.
Yeah.
But do, if you want, drink when you get home.
Yeah, for sure.
With some of these delicious cocktails. I'm going to make some of these, especially the two gin-based ones. Those sound delicious.
Yeah, I'll make sure to send you all the recipes and everything as well.
And then I will post them on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Nice.
Chronicles of Nania will get you there every time. So whatever your favorite platform of those three is, follow us on it. Also, if you are like, oh man, I didn't get my story in and would really want a pairing, I bet that Dan,
I would love to. Yeah,
would
send
be
him,
willing.
Yeah, send him to the to
Chronicles of Nania at gmail.com, and then I will get in contact with Dan, and we will pair a drink for you.
I would love to do that.
So don't feel like you missed the window.
Yeah.
Like the family that missed the window to hide their dildo in the lockbox.
They really missed it.
They really missed that window.
Yeah.
So don't, you didn't miss the window.
No, like those parents.
Your dildo is hidden away.
I like the fact that she said massive dildo.
I know.
Like she didn't say like, oh, I found a dildo. No, this thing was.
It sounds like it like scarred her a little.
Like she was just probably like, why is this thing so big? Like that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It really is. Well, we end every episode with a funny or cute story or quote. And this one was full of funny stories, but I have brought one to end on a light note. And Dan, if you want a pair.
Sure. Yeah.
On the fly.
Okay. Yeah.
But no pressure. Okay. So a child that I nannied for a long time ago, he was about 4 at the time. We were kind of just, I think we were walking, but nothing tripped him. He just fell down and I was like, oh, what happened? And he goes, my penis was too heavy. And I had to like not laugh, take a beat, and then be like, do you need to go to the bathroom?
What does he mean?
What does that mean? And I was like, I mean, we were like on our way.
Did he explain himself?
No,
he just was like, it's just what he felt in his heart.
Yeah,
that his penis was too heavy.
Because his penis was too heavy. My friends were like, send him to his room for bragging.
Yeah, right.
But it was close to nap time. So I also didn't press the issue because I was like, we got to get down for nap
time.
Just
be like, you're a man now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he just fell over.
Yeah.
And didn't hurt himself, thank goodness.
Yeah. I would say, you know what? Give that kid a drink. That's what I would say.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
A nice scotch, because now he's a man.
Now he's a man.
Yeah, because
I like it.
Yeah, because his penis is too heavy.
You take a shot of scotch. I'm not going to advocate giving a child liquor, but you can take a scotch and a drink of scotch in his honor.
Yeah, of his large, in honor of his large penis now.
Yeah, of him Jesus. Being a man.
Yeah,
and
okay.
discovering that... That penises can change your weight distribution, I guess.
To make you bottom heavy, I guess. Not even
just
top heavy.
Fall over.
Yeah.
But thank you so much,
Absolutely.
Dan.
Absolutely. Thank you.
This was really fun.
This was so much fun. Thank you very, very much.
And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
The Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.